Hopefully that makes us want to sing hallelujah. Love hearing the children singing, leading us in worship. Would like to welcome everybody to Flat Springs Baptist Church. Excited that we're all gathered together for our morning of worship. And if you are a guest with us, we are extra excited that you're here. And we have a way of hopefully gaining some information about you and sharing some information about ourselves. There are guest cards. They're located in the pew directly in front of you. If you could, if you've never filled one out, if it's your first time or several times you've been here, fill that out. Place that in the offering plate when it comes around, and then we can share a little bit about ourselves as well. I would like everyone to listen to this passage of Scripture from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 23, as we continue to worship this morning. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Let's pray this morning. God, we come before You singing hallelujah to Your name. Lord, we are anxious to see how You will continue to work through us and transform us during this time of worship. Breathe new life into us. Give us focus and clarity as we worship through song, through praise, through Your word and the message that will reach and touch our hearts. Guide us in the week that is ahead as we live for Your Son, Jesus Christ, and as we pray in His name now. Amen.
Okay, if you'll stand and join us, hymn number 346, a song you've probably known since you were the size of these angels. So stand up and sing. He's got the whole world in His hand.
Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to come here today to worship. Thank you for this church and allow us to continue to be a beacon in this community. Be with those that are on the prayer list and you know their concerns. Please bless these tithes and offerings as we try to further your kingdom. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.
Morning again. I love seeing so many of you sitting right here. So I want to make sure you can see me. I'm going to show you something. When I do my hands like this, what do you think about?
Pray.
Think about praying, right? That's pretty easy. And you may not do this when you pray. You don't have to do this when you pray. This is one way that Lauren and I are teaching Lillian to pray. Whether it's in the morning or before a meal, when we say let's pray, she'll put her little hands together like this, and we'll have a prayer that reminds us to pray. And I want to talk about prayer a little bit this morning. You don't have to raise your hand. Just tell me, do you all pray? Do you all pray? I don't think so. I've heard some of you pray, absolutely. Can you tell me how many times a day do you pray? Or a week? A lot? Forever? Absolutely. I love that. I hope so. Do you pray at least once a day? Like maybe before meals? Maybe when you wake up or when you go to bed, right? There's a lot of different times you can pray. The Bible actually doesn't tell us an exact time to pray, but the Bible definitely tells us to pray. And actually, Jesus gives us a very specific description of what to pray. You may have heard that before, called the Lord's Prayer. That's a very important prayer. But this morning, I want to talk about another prayer that Jesus prays that I think is probably just as important. And this prayer that Jesus prays is the night before he's going to die on the cross. And he says he's praying for his disciples. So listen to that. In John chapter 17, verse 9, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, I pray for them, talking about his disciples. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus is saying he's praying for his disciples. And that's really important because we're Jesus' disciples. If you are a Christian, if we are Christians, we follow Jesus Christ. We're his disciples. And this means that Jesus was not just praying for his disciples then. He's praying for us as his disciples now. And so that's really special for us to remember because Jesus teaches us just how important it is to pray to God, to listen to him through prayer, and to pray for others as he prays for us. So this week, I hope that you will take special time away each day this week to pray for each other, just like Jesus prays for us. Okay? Let's pray about that now. God, we thank you for teaching us about prayer, and we are very thankful for the way you pray for us. Show us how to pray for others this week. We love you, God. Amen.
Thank you, Angels and Instruments of Christ. Tonight is their performance, so make sure you come out for that. Now, if we'll stand now and sing hymn number 406, The Solid Rock.
you. You may be seated. Indeed, during difficult times, all other ground becomes sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock, we can stand. Let me invite you to look in the bulletin. You'll see a long list of names of needs. Our hearts break with the Riddle and Smith family at the tragic loss of David and Bill. We pray for each one that's on this list, and if you have, as I have been doing this week, been watching the news, you have seen so many tragedies. Nepal, the train wreck, storms, and then our own community rocked by the pain of the loss of two that we knew and loved dearly, and others who are battling diseases. We've found this week that my son-in-law may not make a full recovery and may never walk again at age 40. Difficult things, sinking sand all around us. Would you pray with me as we pray together on Christ, the solid rock? I stand. Would you pray with me? God, we are grateful for your love that keeps us singing as we go, when the world might say, why in the world are you singing? And it is because, oh God, we stand on the solid rock. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For that medley and reminding us of Jesus keeping us going so wonderfully well. Let me invite you to open your Bibles with me now to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verse 18 and then we're going to skip over and read verses 26 through 30. And our text is going to be on Romans 8:28. When you do sermon planning as I do, I spend time praying about what God would have us to hear. I usually start with what God would have me to hear and kind of let you listen in. And several months ago, as I was planning the sermons for this year, and got to this place where I thought we would do a series on life-changing proclamations from Scripture, life-changing statements, this verse came to my heart and to my mind. And so I plugged it in for this Sunday, not really knowing how in God's timing, we would have to look through the lens of grief to see a powerful passage, a truth of Scripture. My prayer would be in the midst of sickness, in the midst of death, in the midst of tragedy, we might hear that powerful, life-changing proclamation from God Himself through the Apostle Paul, first to the church at Rome, and then to the church at Flat Springs Baptist Church. How God is at work. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 and then 26 through 30. If you're able this morning, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And then over to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. May God add his blessing to the reading and grant us understanding of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you speak to us for a moment now? In the midst of a world that is stained with sin and broken, that we might leave this building today proclaiming not only a tune in our head, but a victory in our heart, that when we stand on the solid rock that is Jesus Christ, we can stand against the storms of life. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are many wrong ways to read this text. And there's only one right way. There are many wrong ways to read this text. And there's only one right way. All things work together. There was an article in Reader's Digest. Like many high school seniors, Mark Smith's son was filling out college scholarships. And one form asked his son, who had wrestled but wasn't a very good wrestler, about his extracurricular activities. And so he answered, wrestling. The next question requested positions held. He entered, pinned, mostly. You ever feel that way? That the position that you hold in life is pinned, mostly? We have been rocked this week. Now, this life-changing proclamation doesn't say everything is good. There is evil in this world. It doesn't say that all things are good. It doesn't say that all things are God-caused. And it doesn't say that all things work for good for everybody. Well then, what does it say? I'm glad you asked. First, let me tell you what will not work to be able to hear what I'm fixing to share, what I believe the Holy Spirit is fixing to share. The first thing that won't work is a casual faith. I read an article this week from the Pew Foundation that says that Christianity, mainstream Christian faiths, are going to be declining more rapidly than ever before. Isn't that good news? It is. It's good news. Because, friends, a casual faith, a worldly faith, if you will, a faith that says, I am so many things and one thing I tack on to my life is that of being a Christian, that will not work. A self-centered faith, a false faith, if you will. It will never see this passage as true. A self-directed faith that sees God working for us like a genie in a bottle, that when we have a problem, we can go and rub our Bible and Him somehow miraculously coming to our aid and granting us some ridiculous wish. That kind of faith will not work. You see, we must be either sold out to God with a radical love for everything I'm about to say to make any sense. In fact, if it doesn't make sense at the end of this sermon, either one or two things has happened. Either one, I didn't do a very good job, and that's at least a possibility. And number two is maybe it's a time for us to examine our faith and ask ourselves the great litmus test that Christ himself gave us in Matthew 23:37. When asked, what is the greatest command? Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, you are to love the Lord your God with all your soul and all your mind. And here's what I'm going to say about that. If today we don't love the Lord our God with all our mind and all our soul, Romans 8:28 will never, ever make sense. It will never be a reality. It is only through the eyes of a sold-out faith, a sold-out faith, that Romans 8:28 not only makes sense, it becomes the foundation of our faith. What can we learn from Romans 8:28? Hear it again. And we know for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. God works in our weakness. Look what we said over in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Paul is teaching us that life is unfair and cruel, and we've been reminded of that this week. We never dreamed last Sunday when Flat Springs gathered to worship that we would be having the prayer list that is before us now. And we can't imagine what the prayer list will look like next Sunday, next month, or next year. Paul says, in the midst of that, be confident to know that when we are at our weakest, God is at his strongest. In fact, that's how God created us. Now, you know I love the outdoors. You know I love being outdoors. I love hunting. I love fishing. I love the creation. And when you stop and think about us as critters, we're the weakest of the weak. You don't believe it? Spend one night out alone, naked, in 20-degree weather, and see how you fare. I won't see you in the morning. You won't make it. Because you were created with a weak body. You have to find something to help keep you alive. You got to find fire. You got to find shade. You got to find something to drink. And left on our own, in the power of a society that we have learned about survival of the fittest, as far as it comes physically, my goodness, we're weak. We went to the Cincinnati Zoo and saw lions and tigers and rhinoceros and elephants and giraffes. And compared to them, we're not much. We're not much. Why in the world would God take these hairless, almost hairless critters who can't survive without a lot of help? How in the world would he make us the dominating force on this planet? I drove 2,942 miles. I didn't see a bird flying a plane or a deer driving a car. Not one. Not one. They're living just the way they lived 1,000 years ago. But 1,000 years ago, there was no interstate highway upon which you could set a cruise control in an air-conditioned car and drive 70-plus miles per hour and stop at rest areas that had every kind of thing you could ever imagine to eat, stop at a grocery store, stop at hotels, and have all the comforts of home waiting for you. Why did God make us different? Why did God give us the one thing that they don't have? A heart, a soul created in God's image. That's what we have that makes us different. That's why, although we can't survive in the survival of the fittest, God gives us a mind to figure out a way to do it. You know why he gave us a mind to figure out why to do it? Because he was hoping. He was hoping that when we saw all that he had provided for us and gave us a mind to see it and to understand it, we would recognize that all this wonderful creation is made by a wonderful Creator. And we would love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind. And then he gave us a choice. In our weakness, he's made us strong. Not because of how our flesh is put together, because it is fragile. We've been reminded of how fragile it is this week in storms and in automobile accidents. It is one blow away from death. It is fragile on its best day. And it is limited in every life. There is a season to be born and a season to die for every one of us here. In our weakness, God loves us. And he said, enter into that relationship with me, and I'll let you live forever. I'll glorify you after I've justified you, after I've set you apart. I'll give you a home in heaven. God's work in our weakness is so strong, and yet God not only works in our weakness, but he also works in our world. We know that all things, everything. I read a little poem a couple weeks ago when I was working on this sermon. The verse says, this verse in Holy Writ I see, talking of this verse, has very often puzzled me. And many have been led to doubt just how this could be brought about. How trouble as a blessing could work out for our eternal good was more than sight of man could know, and yet I sense it must be so. All things include both dark and bright. It means the sunshine and the night. It means my sickness and my health, my poverty as well as wealth. This world is full of toil and care. Both joys and sorrows have a share. But one there is, a present friend, who knows my life from start to end. Do we know that one who knows us? In this old world in which we live, life can change, but God doesn't. God knew that when he was walking with Paul on the face of the planet, that one day he'd walk with Gary on the same planet, a different time, a different place, a different world, we might say. And yet God, the same yesterday and today and forever. God desires to allow the world to shape us, not in its way, but in his way. There's an ancient story told of a man who was born with a hideous face. He was so hideous that in his community no one wanted to see him. We would say life had been unfair to him, that he had been saddled with such a difficult reality. Someone in the community, an artist, fashioned the face, a mask, if you will, a mask, and formed it to his hideous face. And it took great effort and energy, and it was uncomfortable for that mask to be placed in place, and yet they strapped it on and left it for years. And the face was one of a handsome man. And so folks would see him, and no longer would they turn away, but they would see the face, the handsome face. Years went by. He fell in love. And his wife said, I want you to remove the mask. No, I can't do that. I want you to remove the mask. I can't do that. Finally, after much coaxing, they broke those straps that for years had never been undone. And they removed the mask. And something amazing had happened. Because he had put on the mask so tightly and worn it so faithfully, the hideous face had been transformed to the beautiful mask. That's what God says when he says, put on Christ. On our hideous, sinful nature, on the world in which we live that is so fragile and so unfair, and no matter what we've been saddled with in life, put on Christ. Put on Christ and allow him to shape us and fashion us. Let's be faithful. Let's put him on all the time and wear him all the time in all places until our face begins to conform. No, not conform. Till it begins to be transformed to look like Christ. And when I see with Christ's eyes and I hear with Christ's ears and I look like Christ to others, in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. When I realize my purpose is to love Christ, to love God with all my heart, with all my strength, with all my energy, with all my soul, with all my mind, then God can begin to work in me. Finally, this morning, God works in our walk with him, according to his purpose. Let me tell you, it'll be so simple. And yet if you and I were to grab hold of the truth that I'm fixing to share, it would transform our life beginning today. And maybe we've been reminded, maybe we need just to be reminded of a reality we know. You and I were created to love God. There it is. You and I were created by God to love God. Ants were created for the mound. Bees were created for the hive. Geese were created for the flock. Caribou were created for the herd. But you and I, we were created for God. He formed us and fashioned us into his own image. And then he gave us weak bodies that we'd never think too much of our own strength. He gave us fragile bodies that would always be reminded that we needed to depend on him, not ourselves. He created us to love him. And then he has the audacity, God has the audacity to say that if we love him, that's enough. We'll find fulfillment. Just like the ant in the mound and the bee in the hive, we'll find our place. We'll find our joy. We'll find our peace. We'll find our hope. Now listen, all things are not good. Only a fool would think so. But when I really love Christ with all my heart and all my life, I can say with Paul, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, that's a mouthful to say. But it can transform our heart. When I take every event, good and bad or otherwise, joy or pain or numbness, success or failure, hope or despair, sickness or health, life or death, and make them all my gift to God, then I'm able to see things differently, act differently. I'm able to be different. You see, the real fulfillment of this verse is found just a couple of chapters further over. If you look with me over at Romans chapter 12, Paul, when he begins to bring us to conclusion, he says these words. And I think he must have had what he said in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. He says this in verse 1 of chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How in the world can we stand in a world that has been stained with sin and is broken? Somewhere right now, someone is making their mind up they're going to murder someone. Right now. Right now, somewhere, someone's deciding that drugs or alcohol are more important than their family, and they're going to choose those vices rather than their family today. Right now, someone's deciding that the covenant they made on their wedding day is no longer sacred, and they're about to break it. Right now. And what does tomorrow hold? I don't know. But I thank God I know who holds tomorrow. And that's enough. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. To the unfaithful, that sounds like foolishness. But to those of us who love the Lord with all our heart and all our strength and all our soul and all our mind, it makes perfectly good sense. But we still hear echoing in our spiritual ears Jesus' words from the cross when he said, "Father, forgive Gary McCullough. He doesn't know what he's doing." And I remember the day I gave my heart and my life to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and committed all that I was, as little as it is, to him. And I can say also with the Apostle Paul that I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Today, brothers and sisters, nobody in Deep River loves you any more than I do. You are my most precious gift. And we're going to open those doors and go out into this world. And I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to you. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know who I'm going to meet texting down a narrow highway. I don't know when the next pain is not going to be a pulled muscle, but something far worse. I don't know what my neighbor might decide to do. I don't know. What do I know? I'm glad you asked. I know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That's all I need. It's all you need. That's enough. That's more than enough. You don't believe it? In 20 billion years, pull up a cloud beside me at the feet of the Lord, Master. And we'll talk about it. Because as we sang, he's got the whole world in his hands. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we live in a sin-stained world, but we serve a sinless Savior who is stronger than all our sin. And today we ask your forgiveness, Lord, where we've loved you with just some of our strength, just some of our heart, just some of our mind, just some of our soul. We pray, oh God, that today might be a day we say, I want more. I need more. I've got to love you more, Lord. If I want more understanding, I've got to love you more. If I want more strength for today, I've got to love you more. For as we sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. God, I pray for those who are hurting today. And I hurt with them. And I would never stand before them and tell them that anything that's happened this week is good. But I would stand before them, oh God, and say that you'll take whatever happens and make good from it. And for that, you are blessed, and you are holy, and you are greater than anything I can imagine. You're speaking to our hearts right now. And we're going to make some decisions before we leave this building and walk out into a world that we're not sure about. But God, would you make us sure of one thing? That you created us to love you. And we're going to love you with all our soul and with all our mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is page 345. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for him about your walk, about your love for him, about strength for life and living, whether public or private, may each of us decide today that before we leave this building, we will pray this prayer. Lord, this week, I will love you with all as we stand together. As we leave this place today, we know that God is with us. And we know that God needs to be with certain folks we love in a very powerful way. I know that you will be remembering the families tomorrow. There will be a visitation tonight. I believe it begins at 5:30 at New Hope Baptist Church for the Smith family and the Riddle family. And then the service will be at New Hope tomorrow at 11 o'clock. And we ask that you be keeping them all lifted up. It is indeed our desire that God's grace and God's mercy will move in powerful ways in their hearts and in their lives. Let me remind you, as we've already done, that our children will be leading us in worship this evening at 7 o'clock. I know that you'll want to come and be a part and support their hard work as they will bless us as only children and the Lord can do together. And then we'd ask you to note the bulletin. I know you've noticed we're not doing announcements like we normally do, but they're in the bulletin, and I know that there are some sign-ups out here, especially there is still room if anyone is interested in taking the CPR class that we're going to offer this Thursday, and there's also a sign-up if you can't go this Thursday for a future class that you could sign up and be a part of. We would encourage you to do that. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, we're about to open the doors to the mission field and head out to people who need to know You and the pardon and forgiveness of their sins. That we might be salt and light, that we might be Your hands and feet, that we might live in such a way that our life has been transformed to the mask of Christ, and that when others see us, they would see You and glorify Your name. Go with us from this place. And, oh God, may we intentionally go with You. In Christ's name we pray.